Welcome back to Crown Posse, a lighthearted look into our favorite royals across the pond. Or in today's case, our favorite royals in Montecito, because Megan's here and we are recapping our thoughts and initial reactions to the Harry and Meghan docuseries on Netflix. So if you have not watched the Netflix docuseries yet, I suggest you do so before listening to this, because with all transparency, we're kind of all over the place. We had a lot of feelings to discuss, and this is in no way, shape, or form like a recap of the series. So if you haven't watched it, it might not make total sense, but if you just want to hear us babble and ramble on about our reactions, then this episode is definitely for you. So without further ado, here we are. Hey, Meg.
Hey.
We're here with Megan. She's back. Okay, so this episode is just going to be basically encompassing our thoughts about the docuseries, Harry and Meghan.
I loved it.
You did.
I really did.
I did too. And we went into it concerned.
Absolutely.
We had concerns.
To the point where I was starting to, like, low-key question Meg a little bit.
Yeah, and I could see that.
And I felt guilty even thinking that.
Yes. But I think that goes into, like, we bring an interesting perspective to it where we can see how people could feel that way.
Yeah.
We see the truth of Harry and Meghan, or what, you know, the docuseries was trying to portray. And we also see the side of the royal family. So I think that we bring, like, kind of a really...
Enlightened.
Yeah, very enlightened. Yes.
No, but I think that that's such a valid thing to point out, though, because we really do... For lack of sounding like super conceited. Like,
yeah.
We do a really good job at understanding each role and each emotion and each... I mean, the biggest thing here that you and I have talked about so many times is that it's a business and it's a family.
Yeah.
And lines are crossed all the time.
Totally.
And it's very difficult.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to get into all of that. I did want to address some initial thoughts before kind of summarizing the whole series. But... first, we've got to get something out of the way, and that's addressing any critics that say, I thought they wanted privacy.
I feel like that's actually the number one thing that if I start to express any adoration towards them.
100%.
I get the eye roll, and I thought they didn't want this.
Yeah,
They said they wanted.
Said they wanted privacy. Where
did they say privacy?
Where? Show me. Show me where.
Did they say privacy?
They didn't. That's the thing. In their announcement to step down, never once did they say, we're looking for privacy. I think that that was a message that the press interpreted from their message.
Right.
And then it spiraled out of control. People kind of reworded it as taking their initial message, rewording it to... they want privacy. It exploded on social media, and then you know how people
just
regurgitate information. Right. It's not, you know, they saw it a couple times that online the headline said Harry and Meghan want privacy. That becomes someone's opinion, and then that's the opinion they carry with them from that point forward. And that's just not the reality of the situation.
And even had they said the word privacy, which they didn't, with that, that became an interpretation.
Right.
But without actually Googling the exact definition, doesn't privacy just imply that you have control over what you share and what you don't?
100%. They want consent.
Yeah. Lies were being told and things were being manipulated. And
yeah.
They had no control over what was going to be printed. And they didn't really have anybody having their back when it came to... you know, take my name off this, or, you know, what can we do here?
People were hiding in their bushes with long-range lenses. Like...
that's insane.
But yet they're the villains for being like, wait,
could
this
that just
isn't...
not
happen? Yeah. Right. Where's the middle ground here? And then my point, too, is people were, like, enraged that they thought this was so disrespectful that Harry first, initially, you know, 2 years ago had a... point or had a part in that Finding Freedom book when it came out that they did have a part in that.
Right.
Then this docuseries, then his tell-all book. Did we forget that Charles did a tell-all interview when he admitted to the affair with Camilla? Diana did two very intimate interviews. Now we know that one of them was you know, gained manipulated, on, manipulated, yeah. right? But still, like, where is the outrage? Like, this is the first time this has ever happened. It's mm-hmm. unprecedented, is it? I feel like it's pretty precedented.
It seems like actually all of you have yeah. had a time period where you've been miserable and right. you've spoken out about it.
Yeah. I just don't understand. So that's what I wanted to address first. If you say, oh, I thought they wanted privacy, then, you know, kind of maybe just look into that a little bit further before saying that again.
And just their statements in general. I don't think they have ever actually said the word privacy.
Yeah, right. And would it be so bad if they did, but then exactly. chose to, you know, tell their story their way? Like, I don't know. I thought that they were just human beings, but I guess I'm wrong about that. And then our concerns before watching. One of them was, well, I guess it's not a concern. Our initial thought was that we had trust that Harry wouldn't be disrespectful to the family.
Absolutely.
So that.
But the way Netflix set up some of their clips.
Yes.
Got me panicking a little bit.
Totally. 100%.
And I completely separate from the docuseries, was starting to be a little influenced by all of the Meg hate on TikTok.
It's easy to.
And I was starting to just have a sliver of, she is an actress.
Yes.
But this whole 6 episodes really changed my entire, I do not yeah. feel like she was acting at all.
No.
I think she's very well spoken and poised, but yes. I felt like she was extremely genuine.
I completely agree. And I think the poise and the delivery of what she says sometimes can lead to it feeling a little bit rehearsed. And sometimes it probably was. Yeah, she's always been like that. And sometimes it probably was rehearsed.
We've rehearsed some of this.
100%. It's nerve-wracking. Like,
and the amount of attention that she gets.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about that recently, just watching something with Kate and Will, and thinking how, like, you almost never see a bad photo of Kate.
Yes.
And so what does that mean for her? That mm-hmm. she is just always aware of where her chin is, aware of where she's looking, that she's never scowling, she yeah. never has an RBF. Like,
yeah.
to live like that, knowing that at any given moment, you could have a snapshot taken.
Yeah.
Or for Megan's case, knowing that she was, they're top 10 enough. I think they're right. number 2 or 3 right now.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you're not just rambling.
Right.
Like, you have points that you want to make.
Yeah.
But I thought especially the scenes with the two of them together, you could really tell that they were just a couple in love telling
yes,
their story.
I agree 100%. And that's a great point about, you know, always being prepared for, she knows her role and she knows she was an actress before. So even that goes into it
yeah.
even more so that.
It doesn't mean that she's being fake.
Yeah.
She's prepared. And I loved that. And you and I have talked about this a little bit before. We see a lot of that in, like, some of her home videos.
Yeah.
Not the rehearsedness, but just the general poise and the way she speaks,
yes.
the way she carries herself.
Yeah.
It's she consistent. Was that way long before she was an actress.
Yes.
That's why she's good at being an actress.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not one versus the other.
Yeah. Her communication style has remained consistent from the home videos
absolutely.
Of her being 12 to now. And then one other initial thought before watching was that I think we both were hoping that the enemy would be the media, not the family.
Agreed.
And obviously the family would be involved in the enemy being the media, but I think that was where we were hoping it was going. And yeah, I think that we did get that, but we'll get into more of that.
I do want to, one side note that I was just thinking of.
Yeah.
When we were going into it, some of my initial thoughts was I was thinking I was going to be mind blown.
Yeah.
And whereas I do still think we have so much to get into and talk about, I want to give props to you. I don't really feel like anything was new information to me.
Yeah.
The research and just the genuine, like, dedication that you have had to that couple, I feel like you've seen this whole story and you've watched the media play out and the examples that they were using, you told me about in real time. So I had a really good understanding of the couple already, and I credit you for that.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, you were just as involved as I was, though. It's along
for the ride.
Yeah.
You taught me a lot.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
No, I agree, though. At the end of it, I was like, I don't feel like I learned anything new. They definitely elaborated on situations that we already knew about, but how anyone could watch this and think that there was anything, like, uncovered that was so
exactly.
disrespectful.
I think it's a lot of anybody, if there's anybody that's actually surprised or shocked
yeah.
by anything that was in there,
yeah.
they're overreacting, first
yeah.
of all.
Yeah, right.
And also, clearly, this whole story is brand new to them.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but
oh,
that's
yeah.
why you need this podcast.
Oh, wait, that's a good point. that's bold for me to say, like, oh, we didn't learn anything new. Well,
we didn't, because we're so involved already. But, we followed this.
Right.
Like, you got up and watched the wedding.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, I got to watch the funeral, but I wasn't around for Meghan and Harry's wedding. I came after that.
Yeah.
So, you've known the whole story, and you're very in tune with even the British media. So, you've watched a lot of that happen.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people have. Or maybe a lot of people have, but it's still going to be brand new to some people.
Yeah.
Some people are just going to see it on TikTok and click it on Netflix. And I went out to dinner with my girlfriends the other night, and not one of them had watched it yet.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not.
No, that's a good point, and I think I needed to hear that, because I really came into this thinking, like, this was just old information, really, just retold, but that's probably not the case for a lot of people, so
no.
That's a good point. Bring me back down to earth a little bit.
I only feel that way because I'm best friends with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, again, before we get started, I thought it was such a good idea on Harry's part to document this journey, because he knew how historic it would be.
Absolutely.
So the fact that, like, I know a lot of people's criticism was like, why are they even recording this? Well, because Harry understands he's from this family. He's from the British royal family, and he knows that this type of thing needs to be documented, unless he wants it to be documented without his perspective. Either way, it's going to be documented.
And not for nothing, how is it any different than journaling?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It did turn into something that they were able to actually publish.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that they have all this footage. But how is it any different to just want to look back and remember these things, but actually have the footage for it?
Right. Like, when I log into my Facebook memories every morning, like, what's the difference? Except I want to die when I look at those.
I do too.
So I think we're not going to discuss part one and part two separately. We're just going to go over kind of the general themes,
gotcha.
Both parts. So you already touched on this a little bit, but first thing I wanted to talk about was just the dynamic between Harry and Meghan, just like their body language, the way they speak to each other. I just felt like they truly looked like a couple in love.
I agree. Absolutely.
You can tell Harry loves his wife.
Absolutely.
He loves his wife.
And that's actually my first note. When we were watching the first episode, I think, and I just started scribbling, my first note, if Harry trusts her, I support her.
Yes, you texted me that, and I was like, that is so powerful.
You can just tell, he's not an actor. He has been through hell.
Yeah.
But he has also understood the importance of the business, the importance of the crown.
Yeah.
He's respected and upheld the crown.
Yes.
There's an example, actually, where he's talking about the night that they went to, I think it was the opera, that where she had said she wanted to commit suicide. His mentality at that time was still, what'll it look like if we don't show up?
Yes,
like,
I have an obligation.
Yeah, he did understand, quote unquote, his obligation to the crown and what the crown meant and what their obligation to the media was.
Yes.
But then understood that that's not more important than my wife's mental health.
You could really see the dichotomy of him as a being.
Absolutely.
Where the duty of the crown is ingrained in him,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, leads me to have empathy for the other people that
of course.
It's ingrained even
it's
more
like
so.
They're not feeling those same feelings.
Right,
and
exactly.
We saw that a lot in The Crown, too, which is obviously fictional.
Yeah.
But I can't help but assume that there had to have been times that, you know, poor sensitive Charles just wanted mommy.
Right.
She's the queen.
Right.
And there's a line at all times, unfortunately.
Exactly.
It's a business and a family.
Exactly. I felt it looked like Harry carries a lot of guilt for who he is when it comes to trying to find a wife. I interpreted his kind of telling of his story of trying to find Meghan as he feels like a burden to anyone who he is with. Because he was talking about how hard it was going to be to find someone that's okay with this. He had a couple girlfriends before they left because...
Ultimately, because of the same reasons.
That, exactly. Yeah. And then he was like, well, after one or two leave, the rest are going to be like, well, I don't want any part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he carries a lot of guilt and feels like a burden. And that is so sad to me.
That is.
And I just want to throw it out there that he wouldn't have been a burden to me and I could have handled it. So I'm just going to... put that out into the ether.
Don't tell Harry's dad.
Either Harry. If your name, if you're British and your name is Harry, call me. And then when he was talking about the list, no, he wasn't talking about it. Meghan was like, Harry had a list of who he was looking for as a wife. And he's like, I'm not going to talk about the list. And then she was like, and it was very extensive. And he just points to Meghan's
list.
Oh, like.
He's so sweet.
But it just goes back to what you said, where he's in love with this woman. He trusts this woman. He built a family with this woman. He changed his life with her.
He found his mother in her.
Yes. And I think we just need to go with that. Who are we?
But exactly. And so we, you and I, love Meghan. And yeah, we do see the parallels between her and Diana. And but even if you don't, it all comes back to Harry does. And yeah, this is what he wants. And he's made some really hard decisions.
Yeah.
To protect his family.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like you said the other night, he's Diana's guy through and through.
Through and through.
He really is.
Yeah.
And I think she'd be proud of him.
Yeah. Ryan thinks I'm biased, but I truly believe that Harry and William are the cutest children I've ever seen in my life.
And the Cambridge kids?
Oh, don't do that to me.
So,
I can't say this on air. I don't know. I'm not going to answer that.
Okay.
But you know the truth.
I do.
Okay. All right. So the next thing I kind of wanted to talk about is the idea that they touched on a lot throughout the whole series is in order for the institution to survive, it has to modernize. It has to. And this has been an ongoing conversation.
With that, Ryan, too.
Survive, it must modernize. Oh my God, bars.
Right?
Yeah.
Bars. but no, absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, how long has this been a conversation? Probably its entire existence.
Honestly.
But what I wanted to point out was, and we've talked about this on the podcast, where in previous generations, the monarch believed that they were in this role because they were anointed by the gods. They Correct. Thought this family was in this role chosen by God. They're the head of the Church of England. And they thought they were God-given this right to rule. I believe, and correct me if you disagree, but I think Elizabeth was probably the last member of the family that truly believes that. I think she took that role very seriously. She thought God had chosen this family and her. I think she kind of was the last to believe that truly. I don't think the public believes that anymore. I think it's more that the British royal family is ingrained in British personality. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's a British icon. If you're British, the royal family is kind of part of you and part of your history and part of your culture. I don't think it's so much the religious aspect anymore and like the God-given rights anymore. I definitely don't think William thinks that. I think he more takes it as I'm important to the British people because I'm part of their culture, not I was God chosen to rule. Right. You know what I mean?
I definitely agree with that.
But I think that is a good starting point to modernize because we have a different idea of what this family means to the British people now. And I think that's a great point to start that ball rolling of let's be more relatable. Let's, you know, just keep up with the times. Like, it's not so antiquated anymore.
I would agree with that.
And then even the fact that, what did they say? The approval rating for the British royal family is like 60 to 80%.
I was just going to say, I think it's like 70 something.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So that goes to any naysayers too. That's like, oh, who cares about them? That's a very American like view of it. Like it's part of their culture. You know what I mean? But just in the same vein of modernizing, there was an interesting quote from part two that kind of stuck with me that I can't remember who said it specifically, but they said something along the lines of, if someone was writing a book about the royal family and its history, this is the point where it would be a good idea to write a character like Meghan.
Absolutely. I thought that was such a profound analogy.
Totally.
It makes a lot of sense. And it honestly is a huge missed opportunity on that part.
That's what I have. Like, they had her.
They had her. And like, there's a couple quotes, or when they're like sitting, there's pictures of them sitting on the counter after an event.
Yeah.
And they're saying, you know, we're talking about how we could have done this forever.
Yeah.
It just worked with us.
They wanted to.
And Diana was a missed opportunity too. Yeah. I understand the firm's fear of being eclipsed, or I assume that that's where a lot of the animosity comes from.
Yes. I'm glad they touched on that, too.
But that being said, you find a middle ground.
Like, you have to.
And especially with all of your... I mean, why are your offices all pitted against each other? Why don't they hire you and I to represent all three offices? We'll take them all.
Honestly, don't even pay me. Pay me.
Yeah,
but,
please pay me. Yeah. I need money.
We would do such a good job.
It's just... It's bizarre that that's even a culture that they're a part of.
Yes.
That it's the offices against each other. It's not Harry versus Will. Yeah. It's not them both versus Harry.
Charles
and Will. But exactly, though.
Why are they separate brands?
Separated offices because they started throwing Megan under the bus.
Yeah.
If you're representing all four of them,
yeah.
How did that even... When was that infiltrated? Like, right. Why did that become...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just really too bad, and that's one of my biggest notes, is it's just such a missed opportunity to not reinforce and accept her and use her to your advantage. I mean, and she points that out, too.
Yeah.
The main basis at this point is all these Commonwealth countries that we represent, and most of them are brown and black.
Right. And there are clips that they included of them talking to, you know, black people on the streets and saying... The excitement on their faces to just be like, and she's mixed race, like, or
when Archie was born,
yes, like a black
they
prince,
the game.
Yes,
that one like, guy in the car, yes, was like Prince Archie, it's changed so, the game.
How do you not see this? And instead of being threatened to be eclipsed, why don't you combine the Fab Four and become a supernova? Like,
exactly.
Because even us, who are so interested in both parties, when they were known as the Fab Four, that's when I was most interested because they were so fun to watch. And you see Diana's kids growing up together and working together and building this family and this brand that is gone now. Like,
and it's heartbreaking, too, to hear Megan. She made a point in one of the episodes where she's, I believe, an only child, right? Mm-hmm. She only has her half-sister.
Yeah.
Who's a relative.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was so excited to have kids that had cousins.
Yeah.
And even thinking of them, you know, reminiscing at Frogmore Cottage and thinking that Archie was going to have his first steps there and, like, jump in the pond and grow up with his cousins.
Right.
Like, they're equally heartbroken about it. They didn't leave the family. They left the firm.
I think that's the most, if you take anything from this episode, that's the most important direction to take.
And like, I feel like there was some criticism when they named Lilibet. Diana. People were like, that's when I got the most of, oh, okay. I thought they didn't want to be part of the family. I thought they wanted privacy. I thought, when did they ever say that? First of all, we already touched on the privacy.
Yeah.
When did they ever say they were leaving the family?
Harry was so close with his grandmother, and you have to be an actual psychotic person to not have a relationship at all and then name your kid after your grandmother. So let's read between the lines here. Like, they clearly had, not permission, but they felt comfortable enough
to name... They had a
relationship. Yes, to name their daughter Lilibet. And not even Elizabeth. Lilibet is a very intimate name that...
Intimate's the best word for it.
That Philip called her. Like, so, yeah. If you think that there was any, like, rift between him and his grandmother, I think that that's not the case at all, because even just naming his daughter Lilibet speaks everything to me.
I don't know if it's jumping too far ahead or not, but thinking of that point about them being close, when they address how he's going to come and stay with her and Megan's going to come.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it gets shut down.
Yeah.
She goes, well, now I'm being told that I'm busy.
Yes.
I think that's such a perfect example of how little control she actually had.
I think so, too.
She's not the president of the monarch.
Right.
I mean, she is the queen,
yeah,
for sure. She represented the crown.
Yeah.
But it was an entire establishment, and they had a lot more say than I think anybody realizes. There's so many more moving parts than just a grandmother and her grandson.
I think so, too. And I, what did Diana call them? The men in gray suits?
Yes.
That was the problem.
Yep.
She even said that. It wasn't, I mean, you know, she had her own qualms with the family members, of course, but it was the men in gray suits. And I think we're still dealing with that, where it,
they
you know,
seem to be dictating a lot.
They do. And even I was talking to my mom, who I watched the series with, that I have empathy, and I know we both do, I have empathy for William, too, because as a brother, I'm sure he would love to be there for his brother.
Absolutely.
But as the future king, he's unable to be. And that's very sad. I bet that's a terrible position for him.
And I got really sad when Harry was mentioning the conversations after his grandfather's death, when they were talking about the way Charles was speaking to him and William was yelling at him and Queen Elizabeth was just sitting there. That made me so sad too. But as you were just talking about how conflicted and hard it must be for William, that's got to be where the majority of those emotions are coming from.
100%.
Because of course he would love to just support his brother.
Yeah.
And not for nothing, Kate probably experienced a degree of uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
It's not even comparable to what Meghan has gone through.
Yeah.
But we know what Anne has been through. We know what Margaret has been through. We can only imagine that Kate has had a certain amount of
discomfort. Absolutely.
So it's not unrelatable.
No. And I think part of it also could come from frustration too, that I bet a little bit of William feels like Harry is
the better husband.
Oh, no. No, I was going to say abandoning him a little bit, because maybe even a little bit of jealousy to the point where William's unable to walk away. I bet he would love to, but he is unable to.
I also wonder if he would love to. I'm very curious about how... So, like, Meg made an interesting point about how when she first met Kate and William, she kind of assumed that once the doors closed, they'd be barefoot, they'd be casual, you know, watching TV. And there wasn't really a door closed.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious if he does have a space where there is a door closed, mm-hmm. and what that looks like, or if he really is starting to just kind of embody his role and that's taking over everything else.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I don't think either situation is wrong.
I totally agree.
But I think
it's just different perspectives to take into account.
Right. And whichever perspective you go with will explain
how hard it is.
Yes, exactly. And explain his reactions in this scenario.
Agreed.
Can we just address the elephant in the room too? That, okay, the curtsy scene that's like blowing up on TikTok.
The curtsy.
So I've seen this curtsy on TikTok, on social media, everywhere. I agree that it was kind of cringy. Okay.
So is Harry.
Yeah.
Harry was like, cringy. He didn't love it. He was like, okay.
Too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
However, that was all I saw, like, negative. People would perpetuate that image and be like, how dare she, blah, blah, blah.
We took it out of context, too.
So out of context.
Because what did she say right before she did that curtsy?
She said she felt like she wasn't sure how to handle it, that she was like, is it going to be like medieval times?
Exactly. She said,
it was a joke.
You know, Americans, when we hear curtsy, we think of the Renaissance fair.
Yes.
And that's where she did that curtsy.
Yeah.
She wasn't saying this is how they curtsy to the queen.
Right.
She wasn't saying this
that's how
is
she
what
did
I did.
Yeah.
She was saying, when I heard I had to curtsy to his grandmother, my thought went to something like this.
Totally. And not for nothing, but some people have the take of like, oh, she's making fun of their customs. Did she not make fun of Americans waving in the same breath? Like, you know, I didn't want to be like that American, like waving, like, well, you know, like so big. She's trying to make jokes, okay?
Right.
Like, if she does, if she
she's a regular person.
Right.
She's a regular person that every day sucks every single thing that she says or does.
Exactly.
And so I get it. But this is why you need this podcast.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't making fun of anybody.
No.
And that's not how she curtsied to the queen.
Totally. And that was the only part that
Eugene,
I was like,
Jack and Fergie all said great job. So she definitely didn't do that curtsy.
Right, exactly. And like, okay, she tried to make a joke. It didn't land. I've made tons of jokes that don't land. Like,
all
hello?
The time.
Okay.
That one landed.
Okay, so let's get into the press's relationship with the institution.
Okay.
I thought they did a really great job of explaining to people that aren't aware of what the Royal Rota is and what the relationship is with the family and the media.
Yes.
I was really happy they went into that, because the American tabloids and British tabloids are not the same.
Not at all.
And even the expectations of the behavior of the press in both areas are not the same. So I do want to start off with, you have to be a really gross individual to be a grown man paparazzi.
Gross.
Sorry.
Literally
like,
gross.
Like, what are you doing?
What? No, I totally agree. Disgusting.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? You're, like, literally chasing a female on foot. Anywhere else, that would be... Oh, even Megan said that. She's like, if I called you... If I was not in my position, and I called you and said, there's 12 grown men waiting outside my house...
They said there's nothing you can do based on who you're dating.
Yeah. Excuse me?
So you're entitled to my entire life because I'm dating the prince.
Excuse me? What?
I almost said Prince of Wales.
Oh, no.
He's not. One of the biggest things that I have starred here about US versus UK media in general is, so she's not, this is not brand new. Paparazzi's not brand new to her.
Right.
It's the UK that's extremely different.
Exactly.
So there was a time where she was waving and smiling, and I hope you guys are staying warm and interacting with the paparazzi. And it came out, oh, Meghan loves this. And Harry had to say, like, you can't talk to them. And she's like,
she was just trying to be kind.
Like, people to people. Like, I don't know. Like,
And
it's not a matter of, so first and foremost, if I was constantly getting my picture taken, I would probably try to smile and be nice too.
100%.
I mean, if they're going to take it no matter what.
Yeah.
So if she's friendly and smiling, now they're calling her posing.
Yeah.
Now they're saying she loves it. Now they're saying this is all she's doing it for. She was pretty set in LA and in Canada before she even met him. She was up and coming. Like, I don't think that this was part of her agenda. I think it really got very dangerous for her.
Absolutely. That's where I'm confused about people's takes of, like, oh, she just wants attention. Okay, two things. She was getting attention. Like you said, she was an up-and-coming actress, and she got a lot more attention as part of the royal family. So what was her intention leaving? I'm confused.
Because she didn't want attention. She just wanted to be understood and heard.
Yeah, exactly.
For what she felt was important. And actually, I think she even says that at one point where she says, if so many people are watching us, then I want you to watch what we're watching.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what we're looking at.
Yeah.
If you're looking at me, here's the charities that I'm looking at.
Absolutely.
And so
that's the
she
point
is
of
trying
the royals
to use it.
Too.
But exactly.
Yeah.
That's the point of being a celebrity and having a platform.
Yeah.
And she even says that too, is the whole point is building community and all of that. And
I
really do believe that that's her goal.
I think so too. I think... The whole time, I was telling my mom, and my mom agrees, all she wants to do is good.
Yeah.
All she wants to do is help people.
She just doesn't want to get death threats and be told that she should die or be said that she's from Compton. But one of the things that I did specifically make a note of was race had never even crossed her mind. And she never felt... I think I specifically wrote in here, when I went to UK... it suddenly became a big deal. For that, I wasn't treated as a black woman.
Yeah.
And we're not in a position to say how black women are treated.
Yeah.
And I don't want to cross too many lines there. But it's just very interesting that it became so blown up.
She couldn't just exist as a woman. She suddenly was a black woman.
Compton.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I want to get into that a little bit later. Just it goes into her treatment and that goes hand in hand. But I think a big point too is going back to the Royal Rota, that there's an unwritten contract, right, between the family and the media. And I think Harry did a great job of explaining this, where taxpayers pay for the British royal family to exist. And in exchange for those payments, there's an expectation that the family will be available for them. And he used this quote, "We pay, you pose." And first of all, that's like a really gross...
It's so gross, but I kind of get it.
Yeah?
I do.
Yeah.
And it's not... I think it's gross.
Yeah.
I think it's gross. I can see where they're like, listen, if we're
paying
funding
for
here,
yes. Yeah.
We want to see your kids. We want to see what's going on.
Absolutely.
I do think it's gross, though, and I don't think they should be entitled to it. And
yeah.
I think that that is a very relevant piece that they have tried to become financially independent and actually are financially independent now, right?
That was their point.
Because now you can't use that against me.
Exactly.
I can publish stories. I can publish books. I can publish a docuseries.
Yeah.
But it's going to be under my control.
That is literally the summation of why they left. Because Harry does feel an obligation to adhere to this unwritten contract, because he knows that the taxpayers do fund his life. So he removed himself and his family from that abusive environment. And now he's independent to do what he wants. And we're mad about it. I guess I don't understand. But so basically, a summary of the Royal Rota is it's a system where certain members of the media are allotted time. So there's kind of an exchange, an unwritten rule that in exchange for positive press, this group of tabloids gets first dibs on our lives, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
So,
because they knew they were going to be in the press regardless.
Right.
So they did have a relationship and were able to use it to their advantage a lot of the time.
Exactly. And at a certain point, you have to come to the understanding that, like you said, we're going to be printed anyway, so we might as well try to get some of these people on our side. But Harry said that the feeling of the media and the public that digests that media is this family is ours to exploit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad, because at the end of the day, they are human beings. They are a family.
Not treated that way.
No. So here's my point. And I think I sent this to you when I was watching, but so there's this idea that Harry's obligated to accept these tabloids about him and his family for what? Why? Because he happened to be born into a family that had this unwritten contract with the media. Like, it's not like he chose to be an actor and then paparazzi photos. You know what I mean? Like, for what? Why do we put this obligation on his shoulders to just suffer this abuse? He didn't choose to be born into this family. I don't understand it. So now I feel like we were saying before, he's taking the power back for him and his family.
Absolutely.
And people are upset about it. And I guess I don't get it.
Well, like I was texting you, I keep comparing this to just like any job,
mm-hmm.
right? So if I'm, for all of our Maximus listeners, if I'm a supervisor at Maximus, and it is my responsibility to complete live observations for my agents every month. And I decide that I hate that and I'm not going to do that anymore. Maximus is going to say, okay, well, then we're not going to pay you anymore because this is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
So instead of saying Maximus is horrible, Maximus is the enemy, Maximus sucks, you just remove yourself from a situation that you don't want to comply to anymore.
And now imagine that your mom is the director of Maximus, but you still are choosing not to do your job. Yeah, she's going to be from
loving you.
Yeah, from a mom, she's going to be like, "Ugh, like this is hard for me, but I do actually have to let you go."
Right. Like actually there are other people involved here.
Yeah.
And think about it too. The director of Maximus, let's say.
Yeah.
Or even if we go VP, principal, whatever they're called. I don't even know my hierarchy.
Yeah.
But the higher up we go, there's still no single person that has the entire say.
Yeah.
It's a corporate situation, just like the firm.
It's an establishment.
Yeah. And so, whereas I think we have a lot of examples of where Her Majesty and now His Majesty and Prince William may have had really terribly uncomfortable positions that they put themselves in.
Yeah.
Harry, as essentially the, let's, for lack of a better word, put him as an employee of the firm, because he's not in a leadership position, he's saying, this is actually not working for me anymore, so I'll find a different way to make money, and I hope that we can maintain our relationships.
And I think he's, like, so entitled to do that.
Once I started thinking of the parallels, I mean, I always had his back from the beginning.
Yeah.
I understood. And not for nothing, I kind of hate, like, Megxit in general.
Same.
I think that that's a really gross thing that we started saying.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what it's called now, so I don't know. But even since Megxit, I understood. I was bummed. But, like, I got why they were doing it. And then once I started thinking of the parallels and the amount of situations and jobs that I've taken myself out of, because you can't scream and cry and throw tantrums and try to change the way things are.
Yeah.
You just acknowledge what it is for what it is. And if you can deal with it, you can. And if you can't, you can't.
You remove yourself.
Exactly.
I was proud of him for doing that.
And he was never disrespectful.
Yeah, ever.
Ever to any of them.
Right. And after what happened to Diana and Harry's, like, experience in some of the most fundamental years of his life, I truly can't understand how anyone could not have empathy for that decision.
Absolutely.
Because he's trying to protect his family. And he's trying to have them grow up differently than he did. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like any man who didn't do that is a coward. Not anything against William. That's no, not. But William's not in a position to leave. Harry was.
Correct.
So.
Which probably weighs on William to an extent too.
That's really hard for him, I bet. Also, speaking of between Harry and William, I think that the media has been fueling this power struggle between the brothers since the whole narrative of Harry as the party prince in, like, his university years. Because no one really should care if a 20-year-old man is, like, going out and partying. Like, that's pretty standard. But the intention is always to keep William shining no matter what, you know? So it's inevitable that there will be some sort of rift eventually because the media has been fueling this dichotomy for their whole life.
Yeah.
There's always been an inherent competition. Even if they didn't feel it between themselves, the media has created it.
Yeah. The media is the only enemy here. Definitely the biggest.
Yeah. 100%. They are disgusting. Like, are you okay? And I was talking to my mom about this too. Do you remember when you were younger, or was this a fever dream of mine, that when you would, like, check out at Wegmans as a little girl, it, you know how there's magazines, like, in the checkout line?
Yeah.
Now they're normal magazines, but when I was little, I remember straight up tabloids, saying, like, Bigfoot was spotted. Oh, yeah. Like,
yep.
So those don't exist anymore because people don't buy them anymore. But in the UK, in the UK, those sell. I mean, it's not to the extent of, like, Bigfoot and the UFOs, I'm sure, but it's still tabloids. Where even Megan was like, oh, at first I saw these tabloid articles about me and I was like, oh, good. Because she's used to America.
Yeah.
But in the UK, it's different. And
those women said, what you're doing to your father is terrible.
Right. Hello? Oh,
they, like, gave me chills. That makes me so sad.
I know. And that was when she was like, oh, shit. I will fight people. Yeah. You're going to try not to fight people. You can't fight people in London.
If we are next to people in the crowds and they are talking badly about His Majesty on his coronation day,
I know.
What do you want me to do?
Stand there? Maybe have a diplomatic conversation.
Relocate.
We're going to remove ourselves from that situation.
That's the key. We'll remove okay. I'm going to do the Harry.
Yeah, we're going to pull a Harry and we're going to leave. We're going to Megxit that shit.
The Megxit that argument.
Okay, and the final part I kind of want to drive home is treatment of Meghan in the press. Like, it kind of goes hand in hand with the media and the monarchy. But I want to talk about how it was different for Meghan.
Absolutely.
So basically, even Harry addressed it where
Harry did it perfectly, I think.
Yeah, he said the family felt, you know, when he started dating Meghan and you started seeing these headlines popping up, the family felt like, oh, well, Kate dealt with it.
Why can't yours be different?
Yes. Well, there was a huge difference, and it was the racial undertones and overtones of the messages.
Absolutely.
So I did a little experiment the other day, and I scrolled Twitter with the hashtag Meghan and Harry for 2 minutes, okay? Literally 2 minutes. And I saw the most vile and racist images and messages.
It's so sad.
It's not the same.
No, it's not. It's really not.
So people could say, oh, Diana looked sulky. That was her thing. She always looked sulky. I think Kate was like Waity Katie, remember? Because she was waiting for William to propose. Like, they were dating for a while. Okay. Like, it was just so innocent compared to every morning Meghan wakes up and sees, I don't even want to say it on the podcast because, like, I don't feel comfortable saying things that were published about her.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Or that one picture.
Yes. With the chimpanzee. The yeah. And it says the royal baby. Ugh. Hello?
It's 2020, or at that point, 2021.
Yeah.
And then 2020, either way, like, how is that still?
And then the response from that person that got heat for posting that was like, pretty much like, hee hee, oops, sorry. Like, if you...
Like Teresa, it's a joke.
Yeah,
it's a joke. Get it? That's what I feel filling. Like, yeah. Hello?
Right.
Caroline is way more Italian than the Olive Garden. We can't. Yeah, that's not acceptable. Actually say that. Yeah, a lot of that was very uncomfortable. And to not take away from the necessarily the race aspect necessarily, but just the, I just jotted down two different notes that they touched on in the docuseries of specific examples, avocado.
Oh my God. I'm so glad he did that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he did that.
Because I remember you pointing that out to me in real time as those articles were coming out.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the specifics, but I know Kate was eating an avocado or her baby was the size of an avocado or something. It was in the headline, Kate and an avocado.
Yeah.
And then Megan had avocado toast.
Yeah.
And she was supporting drought or something.
Genocide.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even the absolute vitriol she experienced for holding her baby bump.
That's my second note. It's the bump.
Yeah.
They say Kate's cradling it and they say Megan's obsessed with it. Why can't she keep her hands up? What?
So then when he was like, so if you don't see the difference here.
I can't help you.
I can't help you. I can't help
that.
You.
I really loved that. I liked that a lot.
So in part two, Megan got emotional talking about the tweet that said she should die. And that actually affected me because I have so many people reach out to me to share their opinions, mostly negative, about Megan. And it's like, why? Like, why? I really don't understand. So think about this. You wouldn't act this way about a coworker. You wouldn't act this way about someone you went to high school with. You wouldn't tweet these things about someone like a
human.
A human, yeah, a person that you know. So even if they rubbed you the wrong way, like, oh, this girl's annoying, you wouldn't tweet these things about her. So why is it acceptable and justified when it's about another human who just happens to have married someone in the public eye?
I agree.
Like, I don't know why people are so comfortable sharing negative opinions of this woman who, in my opinion, just wants to do good in the world.
And a lot of, like, seeing those clips of her as a child or how proud she was with that Ivory dish soap commercial.
Yes.
And just thinking of, like, fast forwarding to her adult life and starting to lose her personality and lose her confidence and start thinking, not, like, she went from, I'm a little activist to all the problems would go away if I wasn't here.
Yeah.
And not we, but the media, the public did that to her.
This is a
That's
human.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
And it continues. She shared this story and people are still accusing her of being disingenuous. For why? I guess I don't understand. Like, I would like to invite someone on the podcast, actually, that really feels opposite.
Bethany Frankel.
Yeah.
We'll Bethany take you on, actually. We will, we'll shoot for that B.
I know.
Listen,
my
body. Listen, we go hard for you. Yes, we really do.
We do.
But I think you're wrong here. And if you want to talk it out, we can set something up.
I know it would
be.
I know it would be a little bit of a step down for me because my podcast is like a little bit bigger than hers. But if she did ever want to come on, then let's do it.
And her main point that I hate to, if you ever listen, I really do.
I bet she
do.
Is. No, she
I
is.
Do hate to disagree with you. I honestly do. I support most things and most opinions that you have. However,
did we
to refer to Megan as being like so selfish and self-centered?
Yeah.
And I don't think that was not the message I got from this. And I think that maybe you went into it with the wrong mentality.
And I don't know if we specified we're talking about Bethany Frankel.
Yes. Frankel.
Bethany Frankel. At Bethany Frankel. Actually, I think her Instagram is just at Bethany, which is a power move in itself.
Yeah. Okay,
like
Prince.
Yeah, right.
Madonna.
Yeah. But like, I would like to hear, because I hear that a lot too. I'd like examples of how she's selfish.
And I feel like Bethany, and I'm going to let her go in just a second, but her points that she kept saying was, okay, if you want to call attention to racism, do a documentary about racism or... But that's not, they wanted an opportunity to explain their story because they, for so long, had no voice.
Yeah.
And I think it's fine.
I'm sure
she was genuine.
I'm sure she could do a documentary about racism, but this isn't what this one was about. It definitely had huge points about it, but here's what, my problem is people have such a hard time accepting that two things can exist at the same time.
Yes.
Why can you not accept that it was Harry's idea to leave and still accept that Meghan was unhappy and still accept that the family had something to do with her unhappiness and still accept, like, all of these things can exist, coexist. Like,
right.
Why are we that simple that we can't accept that, like, multiple things can
and
be happening?
Even if we take the most simple approach and say, oh, Meghan took Harry away.
Yeah.
Why did she have that kind of power?
Yeah.
Because he loves her.
Yeah.
He put her first.
Have we?
So even if we want to take that simple approach that this is all her.
Yeah.
He's putting her first.
Right.
Okay.
Have we never?
That's not even what's happening.
Have we never done a root cause analysis? Like, let's do the five whys here. Okay. So I did want to point out that when she was getting emotional about the social media abuse, there was a tweet they showed on the screen that said, wouldn't it be funny if Meghan died in a tunnel? Like, that wasn't...
That's disgusting.
That's disgusting towards Harry, too. Like, his mother... I don't understand how people cannot see why they wanted to exit this establishment. I cannot understand. And even if people are not that extreme with their hatred towards Meghan, like, I have people still that like to share their opinions with me about her that aren't that outwardly abusive, they still enjoy and spread the vitriol about this woman. You know what I mean? They still enjoy that negativity about her, where I really don't, I can understand, I truly can understand how she could rub you the wrong way.
Of course.
That's where it ends. That's where it should end. Like, get help.
Yeah.
You need help.
This angry and this hateful.
You don't know
and
her.
This impacted.
Yeah, impacted, yes.
What on earth?
Are you okay? Help. Yeah. Are you
but
okay?
But also, like, listen carefully. Like, subscribe.
Yes.
Listen to this a couple more times. Come on.
Like, Bethany Frankel's gonna be on this.
We're gonna get her.
Can you imagine? I'm gonna take a shot of this bee.
Listen, I'm gonna put it on TikTok and be like, I'm shooting on this bee, and then she's gonna. What's it called when, like, you do the side by side with somebody?
Boomer. Boomer alert.
I don't know how to do the TikTok.
We're only in our 30s. I swear to God.
Jesus.
Okay, so.
One note that I have, or were you about to change?
No, it kind of goes into the same. So just to kind of wrap it up, unless you want to say your point.
I have one more note starred that I really appreciated of something that Harry had said about unconscious bias.
That was my point.
Deal.
Stop.
Take it away.
Okay, cool.
Take it away.
I love that he said it's no one's fault, but it becomes your fault when you do nothing to make it right. Once something has been pointed out,
it becomes that person's obligation to
yes.
be better.
And that's where we are with the British royal family.
I agree.
So what's done is done. I truly don't think any conversation that's been had, you know, they pointed out, not in this documentary, but in the Oprah interview about the conversation surrounding Archie's skin color. I don't think these conversations were held with any malicious intent.
I think it's more ignorant than anything.
I think it is too.
It's just the monarchy.
Yes, the monarchy.
Is a white industry.
It is. So you can explain that away, but you can't continue to explain away
Agreed.
With ignorance. It Agreed. Becomes your obligation to not be ignorant
It's
anymore.
Been brought to your attention.
Yes.
Now
yes.
you have said something offensive and we've let you know that that's not acceptable.
Yes.
And so now we can no longer say it's an unconscious, but now
yes.
it's conscious.
Now it's conscious.
Now
yes.
it's conscious. So
yes.
are you going to continue to bias?
Yes.
Or, and they, for what it's worth, I mean, obviously I know that they're not going to reply to much of this, but there was recently something in the headlines of, it was at an event that Camilla was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly who it was. It was a royal staff. That was asking a woman of color.
Lady Susan.
Lady
yes.
Susan.
Yes.
Was asking, you know, where are you from?
Yeah.
And she didn't end there. Like,
yeah.
She said, you know, I was born
it.
And raised here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can argue a little bit of the innocence of that, but also kind of shut up and let it go. Like,
yes.
don't, if she says London, don't be like, no, but like, why
yeah.
are you black? Like,
yeah.
That obviously was not the conversation.
Yeah.
However, it was still... perception is reality.
Perception is reality.
She was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
By this line of questioning.
Yeah.
And it was addressed very quickly. And yeah. Lady Susan stepped down.
Yeah.
She wasn't fired. It wasn't yes. a whole, but it was a headline of, that was not my intent, and I'm going to separate myself from the royal family because that's not how they feel. And, you know, we can argue the Royal Rota was a part of that, and the different offices made mm-hmm. sure to put out that imagery.
Yeah.
But even still, okay, that's what we're looking for.
Yes.
Do better.
I think when it comes down to it, the media is enemy number one, but the family failed when it came to condemning the press.
Yes.
For Meghan. And in doing that, they perpetuated this environment of racism. Yeah. They did.
Actually, before we wrap up, too, one of the biggest things that I'll give kudos to Netflix, because it made me panic when we saw the scene of they were willing to lie for my brother.
Oh, my God. In the preview, I was panicked.
You and I were both going,
we were like, no he way. Wouldn't. Yeah,
what?
He wouldn't.
Well, what's
yeah.
he about to yeah. break down here?
Yeah.
But so the lie was putting Harry's name on a joint statement.
Yes.
And they did that to ensure that William was still shining. And if that's something that they're capable of doing, then they were capable of, if not completely stopping, at least sprinkling in some more positive stories or yes. making it a fair game.
Yes, absolutely. They had the power to even the playing field a little bit, and they chose
even
not
the playing
to.
Field.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Meg even says there's real estate on that front page of that tabloid, yep. and somebody royal has to go there.
Yeah.
And so I think that there are definitely a handful of times that Meghan made the front page when they could have, mm-hmm. and that made them jealous.
Yeah.
And I think there's a handful of times that they may have had a hand in her being the front page to distract from other things.
Absolutely. So I think we should summarize with 2 points. One, Meghan and I would love to take over the press offices of the palace.
Really great
I think,
job.
Yeah, I
your
think
your vocabulary
so
is better than mine, but
oh,
I'm
think
very
so.
Empathetic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we'd make a great team, and I think we would really help them shine. And
there's a lot of opportunity here, folks.
Yeah, there is. And point number two is Bethany Frankel. We will talk soon, I think. Just have your people call my
yeah,
people,
yeah,
or,
let's go, girl.
You know, yeah, I am the people. So if you just want to call me, I don't know.
Also, my takeaway point that I still have highlighted that I think I opened with is if Harry trusts her, I support her.
Yeah.
If this is what he wants,
yes.
then this is what he deserves.
This Netflix documentary should have, I think, cleared up any negative perceptions for people of Meghan. I think sometimes people are so committed to their original opinion that they're unwilling to change that, which that's sad for them. But for me, I think anything super negative that comes out about this docuseries leads me to believe that you actually didn't watch it, because I don't think there was anything discriminatory. I don't think there was anything disrespectful.
Yeah.
I think it was actually extremely well done. And,
Oh, and Tyler Perry.
Hello, Tyler Perry.
Hello, Tyler.
Okay, so added to our last points, number three is Tyler Perry is essentially a fairy godfather.
Yeah.
And I love that for him.
For Lilibet specifically.
Yeah. Oh, and my
then,
God.
And then him saying, calling back. Actually, like, hold on. Yeah. And I have to go. Oh, I left it. We're doing this.
I'm not going over there.
Like, just do something private. Yes. Like, I'm the formal, you know, for going to London. I'm
he
just
was
sit that
so
one out.
Cute.
I felt like he was so genuine, too. I
so,
think genuine
yeah.
is the word.
Yeah, totally.
I really think everybody was very genuine and just trying to tell their story. And Doria, we didn't even talk about
oh
her.
Oh my God, Doria. I love Doria.
Doria and Tyler Perry are the MVP of this whole...
I want them to adopt me.
Do you guys want to come on this podcast?
Yeah. I want them to adopt me, and I also want Archie to be mine. So I don't know how we're going to make this happen. There's kind of like, I need a...
We've got a lot of asks.
Yeah,
there, so.
Yeah, we do. but no, I think genuine is a great word, and I don't think I went into it expecting that to be the word.
No.
So.
That was actually my biggest fear.
I
think we were both pretty aligned that we didn't think he would be outwardly inappropriate or disrespectful towards the family.
Yeah.
But I was a little afraid that we would see actress Meghan.
Yes.
And I don't think that we did.
I don't think we did either. So, yeah, I don't know if we were all over the place or not. I hope you were able to follow. But, yeah. I think if you haven't watched the docuseries before forming any opinions whatsoever, I think it's important that you watch it. I think it's a very important thing to even consume, even if you're not into the royal family. It has an important message. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'll probably watch it like 4 more times.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do we have to look forward to next is Spare. Spare's coming out. Spare. January 10th.
I can't wait. I've already pre-ordered it.
Same. So January 11th, we'll probably be prepared to talk about
it. Talk to me on the
10th. Yeah.
What if mine gets delivered before you?
Oh my God, like that one time with the Snape book.
Uh-huh.
I was so upset about that.
And I ordered mine after you, and just this time.
You were willing to give me your copy.
I did. I am the
just
giving
so
tree.
So cute. Oh my God, my soulmate. Okay. So, well, thank you so much for joining. This was so fun.
I loved it. I'll be back again.
Yes, many times. And
God save the king.
God save. Oh my God.
That was our closing before. Do you remember?
Yes.
You would do a wrap up and then you'd say, God save the queen.
This is my first time saying it. Okay. God save the king. See you soon.
See you soon.